Our next reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Probably a familiar passage of Scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading and hearing of this most holy word. There's a very old story about a very wise man named Jacob. People would come from all over whenever they had questions or problems, and Jacob would help them. One day, a man who had been having the same troubling dream night after night came to see Jacob, hoping he could find some peace of mind. Jacob, he said, in my dream, I have traveled a long distance and have come to a great city with high walls. At the gate, a soldier says, I must answer two questions before I can enter. Will you help me? Jacob nodded. The first question is, what supports the walls of the city? Jacob smiled and he said, fear. Fear supports the walls of a city. Ah, the man said. But what supports the fear? For that is the second question. Jacob smiled again and he said, the walls. The fear we cannot climb over becomes our walls. We all battle fear. Everybody is afraid of something. Some people are afraid to fly. Some people are afraid of heights. My grandson is absolutely terrified of dogs. Some people are afraid of losing everything. In fact, a recent article in Money Watch says that most Americans, regardless of income, are one paycheck away from living on the streets. Now, some fear is helpful. You know, fear keeps you from running out in the middle of the road without looking both ways. Fear helps you protect your family. Some fear helps you take action when action is required. But sometimes fear can be harmful. If fear paralyzes you, then it will prevent you from taking action when action is required. If fear causes you to focus only on yourself, then you miss out on the fulfillment that comes when you help other people. If fear robs you of trust, then it will take away your faith. This morning, I want to focus on the third dimension of the fruit of the Spirit. If you remember, in the fifth chapter of Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. A lot of times, we want to define peace as the absence of conflict. And that's fine up to a point. But the Bible takes it a little bit farther. Instead of just being the absence of conflict in the Bible defines peace as the absence of fear. When you are absolutely convinced that nothing can harm you, you are at peace. So this morning, I want to take a look at some things the Bible says about peace. First, let's say prayer together. Let's pray. God Almighty, we thank you for the fruit you are growing in our lives. Help us, Lord, to do things that would help that fruit flourish and thrive by the power of the Holy Spirit that you have made available to all of us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of Philippians that we read from just a few minutes ago is another one of the letters that was written by the Apostle Paul. Early on, it was Paul's job to travel to as many different places as he could and start as many churches as he could. And so Paul's job kept him on the road constantly as he traveled from city to city, starting all these new congregations. And Paul never got to stay in any one place for a very long time. Still, he wanted to keep in touch with the folks in these congregations that he had started, so he would write them letters. And sometimes they would write back. One of the churches that Paul started was in the ancient Greek city of Philippi. The Christians in that city had quickly become some of Paul's closest friends. He loved the faith they expressed, and he rejoiced in the support they had showed to him during his missionary journeys. And so, Paul wanted to share some things with his friends in Philippi. And in the passage that we read earlier, Paul tells them not to worry about anything. Paul said that if they needed anything, all they needed to do was ask God. And God would be with them, and they wouldn't have anything to be afraid of. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding would be with them always. So as we hear these words that the Apostle Paul wrote so very long ago, and as we think about the lives of those first century Christians, we can start to see some of the ways God is developing peace in the lives of his people. When we have God's peace as a part of our lives, we actually start to become more like the kinds of people God wants us to be. So as we seek to make God's peace a part of our lives, there are some things that we can do to make it happen. One of the most important things that we can do to know God's peace in our lives is to acknowledge that we are afraid. Everybody is afraid of something. Some fear is healthy, but if fear is left unchecked, it becomes a prison. Perhaps you are familiar with the story about the Sunday evening after Jesus had been crucified on Friday. The disciples had locked themselves inside a house because they were absolutely terrified that the Jewish authorities were coming for them next. All of a sudden, without any warning at all, Jesus appeared in their midst and he spoke to them. Do you remember the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples that evening? He said, "Peace be with you." The disciples had become paralyzed because of their fear. They had literally locked themselves inside a self-imposed prison. They were not able to acknowledge their fear. Jesus came to help them acknowledge their fear so that they could then deal with it. Some time ago, there was a story out of Southern California about an elementary school teacher who was trying to help her students deal with the aftermath of a huge earthquake. She had her students sit down and draw pictures that depicted their feelings. Most of the pictures were scenes of massive destruction. One little girl drew a picture of pointed objects sticking up out of blue water. When asked to explain, she said, "Those are the aftershocks." When you're afraid, the water is filled with aftershocks. See, that cute little story points out the importance of acknowledging your fear. The child knew she was afraid of sharks. She knew she was afraid of the aftershocks. She put them together and it helped her deal with her fear. Jesus wants us to know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. As long as we stay locked up in the prison of our fear, we can't know that peace. But when we start to acknowledge our fear, we put ourselves in a position to let Jesus come and help us deal with those things that we are afraid of. When we admit to ourselves that we are afraid, we start to experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. A second thing that we can do once we have acknowledged our fear is to talk to God about the things that we are afraid of. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says to us, "Look first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and everything else will be okay. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Focus on today." God wants us to know that He will take care of us. When we talk to God about the things that we fear, we begin to see just how great God is. There's a really interesting story about the power of prayer that was once told by an old Hollywood screenwriter named Bellamy Partridge. Way back in the year 1885, a small town in upstate New York was going through a long, hot, dry summer. All of the wells had dried up, the crops were withering, everything was looking really, really bad, and the young Presbyterian pastor decided that the entire town should pray for rain. So he started putting the word out. Members of his congregation went from door to door. They even went into the pool halls and the saloons, and they asked people to pause at a designated time and pray for rain. The response was unanimous. Everybody agreed. Everybody except one cantankerous old farmer named Phineas Dodd. So, at noon the next day, the entire town shut down and everybody prayed for rain. Everybody except Phineas Dodd. In about an hour, the clouds began to build up. The wind started to gust. The temperature dropped about 20 degrees. And in just a very short time, all the streets of the town were completely drenched in rain. Out in the countryside, Phineas Dodd's hay barn got hit by a bolt of lightning and it burned to the ground. Phineas Dodd sued the Presbyterian Church and its pastor for $5,000 in damages. The trial took 3 days. The judge finally determined that they had only prayed for rain. The lightning bolt that burned down the barn was an act of God for which neither the pastor nor the church could be held responsible. He dismissed the case, and Phineas Dodd was ordered to pay all of the court costs. Talking to God works. God wants us to talk to Him. God wants us to develop a relationship with Him. God wants us to tell Him the things that are going on in our lives. When we talk to God about the things we fear, we begin to see just how great and how mighty God is. And when we know how great and mighty God is, the things we fear start to seem smaller and smaller and smaller. We can acknowledge that we are afraid, and then we can talk to God about those things that we fear. And a third thing that we can do to know the peace of God in our lives is to trust the power of God. The problem that most of us have is that it is very, very difficult for us to completely trust God. And we like to trust things that we can see and touch. But we can't see God. And mostly we like to think that we can trust ourselves. When we start to put our trust in God, we begin to see just how trustworthy God is. In the Gospels of the New Testament, there's a story about Jesus calming a storm at sea. Jesus and his disciples climbed into a little boat and they were sailing across the Sea of Galilee when this huge storm blew in over the mountains and completely engulfed the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples literally thought they were going to drown. And so they woke Jesus up and Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And the storm stopped. And then he kind of got onto his disciples because of their lack of trust. Christ Jesus the Lord has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus is faithful and trustworthy. When we put our trust in God through our Lord Jesus, we begin to fully comprehend just how much we can trust God. Can't even hardly see that. This past Wednesday, we celebrated the 242nd signing of the Declaration of Independence. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but during the American Revolution, a lot of people over in England, Great Britain, referred to the war as the Presbyterian Rebellion. Members of our church and pioneering thinkers of this country knew that as long as people lived under tyranny and oppression, there cannot be peace. And so they fought a long and bitter conflict to be freed from tyranny and oppression. And because of their sacrifices and the sacrifices of countless other men and women down through the centuries, today we enjoy a peace that has never before been known in the history of the world. And yet there are so many people who live each day under the tyranny and oppression of fear. They are truly afraid of their well-being because the powers and principalities of this present age of darkness are coming against them in real and clear ways, and they don't know what to do about it. They fear things they can see. They fear things they cannot see. Many of their fears are real. Many of their fears are imaginary. Yet they are held in prison by the great high walls of fear. When we acknowledge that we are afraid, when we talk to God about those things that we fear, and when we trust in the power of God to do what is required, the walls of our fear come tumbling down, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Amen.